Hey, guys, I am Sharifa.
I'm Paulina.
And I am Teresa, and we are the Fully Geeked Ladies. Welcome to episode one of the brand new podcast, where three lovely ladies who predominantly just watch TV, only joking, but we love watching TV shows, are here to give you our reviews on what's hot, what's not, what you should watch, what you shouldn't watch, and just basically want to hear your views and share our views on what's good on all alternative platforms, Netflix, Sky, and Amazon, and whatever else that you watch. As I said in the intro, I am Teresa. I love watching anything to do with crime. I love my black feel-good movies, my black feel-good reality TV shows like Real Housewives of Atlanta. That's my favorite franchise, actually. Married to Medicine, you've got Tyler Perry sisters. Can't talk. The Tyler Perry sisters. You've got things like The Oval. I do like a bit of gore, but nothing too gory. And just some sci-fi, some psychological dramas and things like that. So yeah, that's me. So I'll be coming to you on those type of shows. What about you, Sharifa?
Yes, so I think I'm the gory one in this group. I like all my fantasies, all my sci-fis. So my favorite all-time at the moment is Watchmen. I'm not sure if any of you have watched it, but yeah, it's a little recommendation for me. I do like my documentaries, and I love series based on real life. I'm an all around the world person, so I like to watch the series from different places. So I mean, I've finished one from Germany. I finished one. Well, I'm sure a lot of us have been watching Money Heist. So, you know, that's from Spain. So I like giving other places, other countries a chance to just see what they have to offer. So I like things from South Africa, you know. So yeah, I'm an all round person, and I like all my black series and reality shows. And I hope we get a chance to talk about everything we can possibly on this pod. So yeah, over to you, Paulina.
So as the other ladies have said, I'm Paulina, and I love anything to do with action and crime. I don't know what it is. If it's got me from the beginning, I'm watching it from beginning to end. I love all types of action films. So my favorite of recent was Gangs of London. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
That was a fantastic show.
Honestly, I just had, I couldn't, I was literally watching it through my fingers. I was so stressed, but it was amazing. Ozark is another one. I literally rinsed that series. I was like, yeah, ready season four, no season four. So I watched it too fast, but I love Ozark. And what other things recently that's action? Just anything to do with action. Crime, I love a good crime documentary to the point where my family think I've got some type of issue. Yeah. Because I just don't know what it is. Like, with a crime documentary, my head just can't grasp why people think
that way.
It's like, how are you capable of committing murder to that degree that you're also lying? All of that.
Finally, did you watch Don't Fuck With Cats?
That, I thought that was going to be a banter thing. The more and more I watched it, I was like, huh? This is actually a serious thing. But yeah, so yeah, anything to do with crime, I'm watching. I love a good reality TV show. Housewives, I've got the Hey You app, don't judge me, but that's where I watch all my Housewives. And yeah, so that's a bit about my interests. So moving on for what we'll be discussing today. So today we're going to be talking about Insecure, which has Issa Rae, who is the creator and the director of the show. Started off originally from a YouTube like series, and then it got picked up by a TV channel or program.
Yeah. Issa Rae did the awkward, I think it was called The Awkward Black Girl. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's loosely based on her life, and then she wrote Insecure. So
yeah. And then we were going to discuss a film on Netflix called The Lovebirds, which again features Issa Rae with Kumail Nanjiani.
Mm.
And then onto most and more important factors of recent current events, the murder of George Floyd that happened in Minneapolis, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Last week on
Tuesday 25th.
Yeah. Yes. And the race battle that has started since, not battle, but you know what I mean, like the race
arguments that have recently come up. So we'll be talking about all three of those topics today in this episode.
Now,
so we're going to be talking about our favorite show amongst the three girls, Insecure. And for those of you that have watched it or haven't watched it, just a quick recap. It's about a lovely lady called Issa, who we follow through time in regards to her dramas with her boyfriends, life, work, friends, the ups and downs of life, basically, and how she navigates through life. Insecure is currently on season 4. If you've watched it, in terms of if you followed Insecure since season 1, you would have seen the peaks and troughs of Issa's life, her getting a job, her not getting a job, the men in her life. And I think season 4 currently focuses on her relationship with her bestie Molly. So we've seen her and Molly kind of go through this weird transition, right, ladies, whereby mm-hmm. before they were like, yeah, you're my girl, you're my bitch, you're whatever,
yeah. to now like underlying tone
exactly
of something, mm-hmm. always.
And in season 4 we kind of see them sort of shifting apart, whether it's because they are grown apart because they've got different views of life or whether
it's yeah, different stages different interests,
yeah, yeah. Then different stages. So where we're gonna pick up from, because we don't want to give too much of it away, is where Molly and Issa have an argument at this block party that Molly has been thrown
Issa.
Around.
I think this was Issa.
The same episode. Issa. Issa and Issa. Issa and Molly.
So it's yeah. Issa's block party.
I think this was episodes 2 or 3.
3. So
well,
Issa.
Season 4.
So for people that haven't watched it, in season 3, it ended off with Issa trying to organize a block party the black community.
Yeah.
So she feels so. Her work in the other seasons was working with the black community, the youth, trying to bring up, uplift the black community. So it ends with her trying to do something for the black community. So she quits her job and it's now focusing on that. So where we're starting from is when she's thrown this block party, and obviously the journey of her trying to get this block party going. And it's just loosely based, as T has said, it's this season's based on her and Molly's relationship and where it's going, and she hasn't received that support from her friend. So they have that big argument, and now they're not talking. So it's showing them independently now, which I like, because before we saw so much of them together, intertwined, like some of their decisions was based on what the other thinks.
I prefer seeing episodes of just Issa.
Yeah.
Molly doesn't need to be in the show. Not in a rude way.
I won't go that far.
Because I just find her such like negative vibes.
We're going to touch on this. I can't wait.
I think the thing is, we touch on her negative vibes because you need to basically look at her transition. In her household, it was her mum and dad. She had her dad to the highest point. No, I know, but that's the thing, that like she is a grown woman, but her dad is up there. So the relationship she saw in her eyes of her parents was up there. So every relationship she's had, she's compared it to it has to be all or nothing. Do you get what I mean? And then she finds out that her dad's cheating. So now her dad's moved to the lowest of low, and now she trusts no man because she's thinking, all right, I couldn't commit to men before because I had this outlook of how men should be and expectations. And now this expectation has let me down. So why should I? And I feel like she doesn't know how to articulate that to Issa, because Issa and her are all about like, oh yeah, let's just do yoga and smoke weed and just, you know, call each other bitches and just be out.
But so I feel it's like never... as an adult, she should know not to have expectations on things.
But that's the thing, is a learning curve for everyone at different stages in life. Some people don't even learn that till they're in their 50s.
You can't compare yourself, you know. But I feel that's who she is. That's why for me it's negative vibes, because she's always not meeting expectations.
Let's jump. So let's talk about the Molly episode. So she goes on holiday with her boo, who, by the way, I didn't know that he was... he was Australian.
Okay, guys, Paulina has a crush.
I don't.
Oh my God, you do.
I don't think he looks like my son's godfather.
He's actually Australian with an amazing American accent. I could not believe that
he's Australian, but he's got a black girlfriend.
Okay.
I swear, he's on Instagram.
Okay.
He's actually got a black girlfriend. Yeah, that's why I'm like, I love him.
Like, cool. I said it. Girl. I said what I said. Let's resume back to normal.
Sorry, yeah.
So, Molly goes to Mexico to meet Drew's brother and his sister-in-law. They're going to have a little vacation. And I think she needed the break because all she ever does is work. And it was almost like we needed to see her focus on her relationship. But the funny thing is, on this episode, it was pretty much all about Issa. Although Issa wasn't there, Issa was mentioned left, right, and center. It was almost like she couldn't shake the Issa vibe off her. I think she needed Issa to bounce off when she had the argument with the brother in the pool. She needed Issa to be her
defender when that woman was like,
but then you have to remember they're best friends. These are people, they've been through a lot together. So even though they're in that state where they're broken, they're not seeing eye to eye, no matter what, she will be in that, you know, in every conversation, she's just there. Like, I find that even with some of my friends, like, even if you've had an argument or you've had it, like, they're still going to be your focus because they are a big part of your life. They're practically family. Some friends are family, you know. So that's why, like, she's on this big vacation. She's not been on a vacation before with her now man in a long time. She's finally settling with someone, meeting the family, and there's no Issa to text and call and give like quirky messages and say, "Hey girl, what can I do I know. I know that. I think it was Molly's fault anyway, but what I'm saying is there's no excuse, but you know, that's what it is. That's why it seemed a bit off, and that's why Issa was the main focus. But even in Issa's episode, it was the same kind of thing. There was a little bit of Molly here and there, you know, in every sad phase when she got ditched from when she got ditched and had to pay the whole restaurant fee.
But I feel like that's Issa regardless of Molly talking to Molly.
Yeah, me too.
So I don't think Molly is really Issa is that makes a difference.
Issa is always Issa, the part of what Molly said is true though about Issa in that argument. Some of the things she said is true. Issa, well, I don't think Issa likes drama.
It could be said for everybody.
No, but I don't think Issa likes drama. I think she is uncomfortable to make a situation about a thing she doesn't need to make a situation about. Like, if you realize anytime there's an awkward thing where some of us, if it's that awkward, we just want to bounce. Issa is just making it more and more awkward by trying to bounce
off, make it into a joke. I am that person.
Try and put it into something else, direct it to something else.
But that's norm. Well, that is some people's norm. That is the reality of some people, right? That'd and I don't me. Think that it needs to be something that
she's be awkward.
Used against her. Yeah. Be used against her.
That's who she is.
But that's the thing. But when you have an argument with your bestie, you're automatically people, they just start going, they just start bringing out going everything left. They've wanted to say.
Yeah.
Not too low, but they just wanted to say everything they want to say about part of what they don't like about you. Not they don't like it about you. Some of the aspects of your personality that annoy them, they just bring it out into
yes, into that means argument. You feel that underlying
in a good friendship sometimes you need that. That's why you need that big argument, and then when you get back, you see each other. As Candy said in Real Housewives Once Upon a Time, sometimes you need to have that in certain friendships, each other and just know that look.
Yeah, because so sometimes you have undying love.
You don't have to do it. You don't have to. I've learned in a lot of my friendships and coming to this stage, there's some friendships that you're just like, okay, cool. This is how we are. We're still close, but this is how we are, you know.
That's
what I think anyway.
Moving back onto Molly and Issa, I think they've always been somewhat transparent with one another. Mm-hmm. And I think the things that were said at the block party to one another are things that they've probably always have said to each other, right?
In different ways, yeah.
Sure. In different ways. So it wasn't a secret. It was just said in an aggressive way. It wasn't, you know. They're always throwing shade at each other. They're always saying things. I think really quickly, because we need to talk about this episode that has just aired with Issa and Lawrence one. But really quickly, where we saw Molly being aggressive with the towel lady. The towel lady was hella disrespectful, first of all. Mm-hmm. But I think Molly could have handled that a little bit
better. She jumped straight to the angry black lady.
Into the angry black lady, which in this current climate, we cannot be used in those terms. Well, those are the terms that people use for us, but we'll touch on that in a bit. But I feel that some of that anger was pent up because she knew
misdirected.
It was misdirected, and she was angry that she didn't have a friend. She was angry that, you know, she's come on this holiday that she can't even be like, yeah, girl, look at me.
And she's angry that her friend saw her in the Ethiopian restaurant and run away.
Exactly.
That's what she's angry about. She's like,
which
you don't actually want to talk to me.
But she was thinking all those things in these moments.
I think so. I think it's
subconscious.
But I feel like that, yes, that is what they are potentially trying to portray. But I feel like she's someone who's very reactive. So in that moment, that's what she did. In that moment, this is what she did. I don't think it's that deep as that she's holding on to all these thoughts and feelings. So it's coming out in her aggression, because
I think
toward Issa, not to her new
I think it might have been a bit of both. I think it might have been a both. It's easy to lash out at a stranger than lash out at people that you're trying
to impress. Yeah, but then you would want to impress your boyfriend's brother.
No, but he was
rude.
He was rude.
He didn't support her. So she was already in that state. She was already in that anger.
She was already in a hype state because of Tower Lady. And then he annoyed her even more. But I don't think it's because she's thinking about Issa. It's more of a reactive situation in that moment. I don't think it's that as deep as you guys are saying it.
But anyway,
that's what I was about to say, because we all have a lot to say about that.
But the thing
I was grinning. I was just grinning. That's it.
I don't mind Lawrence, but I wasn't getting all that.
No, I felt that, girl.
No, I felt that more with Andrew.
I'm a sucker. The thing is, I'm a sucker for old school.
I love.
You know, it gave me that.
Yeah, but
that
I didn't trust
love.
Him.
It gave me no. But the thing is, it gave me that Love Jones vibe, that Love of Basketball, that Brown Sugar vibe. It gave me that vibe. That like, ooh, we're old friends trying to, you know, get to know one another.
When we saw Lawrence, season one, episode one, nobody was feeling Lawrence.
No,
Lawrence was that guy that wasn't working. We didn't understand why. We were thinking, okay, guy. And you know what? Acting is a skill. It's a proper skill because they really made us not like Lawrence. Not because he was a bum, but he just did not look...
I did not like him. I'm talking about
I'm talking about attraction. I'm not talking about his
personality. Okay.
I think
he had a bit of a high top.
His personality has always been dope.
He just looked like he had a bath for days. He just looked angry all the time.
For me, for me personally, his personality has always been dope. It was just the way he looked. I just love the way they have transitioned this man.
We're not fresh.
The
way he looked at Issa, I was just like, oh, okay.
No, but what's making me annoyed is that he has to do this with Issa. But I don't know why he tested texting Contessa.
No, but what I like, okay, sorry, no. What I liked about that, when he first got the message and he was acting secretive, I was just like, don't bring me down from my high horse. Because I was smiling throughout this episode saying, oh my God.
Apologies for anyone.
Please stop playing a bit of Love Jones.
This is a spoiler.
If you haven't watched it, meets Lawrence because Lawrence tells her that he wants to talk. They want to talk, so it's essentially a date, and then it ends into this frivolous.
I don't think it was a date. It wasn't a date. Listen, guys, it was a date. No, it started off as let's just meet up. That's the thing. You guys are getting the. It was a meetup. It was a meetup of two exes that, in their head, it actually turned into a date. Like, if you go, are you telling me no?
Wait.
If you're going to meet your ex, are you going to meet your ex looking like a bum? No, you're not.
Excuse me.
If your ex calls you, says, let's have some closure. I'm not saying it was it. I'm saying it was a day in the end, but obviously they were meeting up. They said, can we meet? They didn't say, can I date you?
Before I lose my point, I'm saying it was a date to Lawrence because he has been pre-thinking about Issa. When he wanted to message her before on Instagram, so he looked at someone else's Instagram, then he laughed at her thing. The wheels are turning that I need to talk to Issa. Then there was another thing, for him it was a pre-planned, I need to speak to her because I'm feeling
a type of way. But so it's not a date. It wasn't can I have a date with you?
It wasn't a setup, let's go on a date. But it's
like,
let's just try and move on a little bit. It's not about ready to disagree. I'm just saying.
It wasn't meant to be a romantic date and it ended up being
That's my point. It wasn't a date. But I'm not saying he had to initiate. He didn't have the initiative. I mean, he didn't initially message her saying, let's go on a date. It was like, oh, let's meet up.
No, it wasn't.
But
there was no romantic in his mind
that he wouldn't tell her he's still got feelings. So that's a date.
Girl.
Okay,
he never even said. He never said,
It doesn't matter.
You know what? Let's go back to Condola, because I had a point to make about the whole Condola thing. I thought when he texted her, I initially just thought, you know what? This is a lot. Because it seems like he's playing two sides.
Yeah, I didn't appreciate that.
But what I appreciated was the fact that he was actually honest with Issa when she came in. He actually said, yeah, to Condola. Yeah, she heard him, and he could have easily lied, like saying, yeah, she just wanted. She didn't hear the full conversation. She walked in at the last bit.
Yeah, he said, I can still come over.
Either way, what I'm saying is he was still a bit honest about it. Because I'm sorry, he can't say, because I'm with Issa, I can't answer the phone to Condola. They're not together. He doesn't owe her not to speak to Condola. They're both his exes. Condola's recent ex. So she knew. What I liked is she understood that, and she knew what it was, what this was. Like, it was, we are trying to talk about what has happened in the past.
It showed
her maturity. It showed her maturity of, you know what, I know
what
this is.
What I'm glad that they did was when... Because you know how in films normally, like, the person turns around and is like, okay, I'm just going to go. I love that Issa was like...
I was biting my lip. I was like, girl.
I appreciate it.
Please don't be honest. Just be mature about it.
Can we step back to when they're having dinner? One thing I liked about their conversation is that they were both completely transparent with one another. Yeah. There was no anger. Yeah. There was no resentment. I just need to understand what it was about me from both sides that... You were angry, I was angry. And they were open, they were vulnerable. And that was something that we've never really seen. Yeah.
But they needed to reach
pure,
that point.
Pure.
Yeah. And so again, a lot of people don't
They needed to reach that point. And they were never at a good point.
Right. And when they reached that point,
beautiful to see.
It was almost like clarity, right? It was like, okay, I see you. You really did love me. You really did check for me. And then essentially, they both messed it up, because had they communicated with one another, they would have realized, okay,
but they both went in that place
feeling
to hear it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when they did hear it, that whole with Issa saying, yeah, you're texting Condola, you lot have broken up, but right now in this space, and Lawrence,
it's me and you,
it's me and you right now.
What I like, sorry to interrupt, what I like about that restaurant scene is at one moment it looked like no one else was in that restaurant.
Yes.
But then, I was just like, I just love this episode.
I actually thought it was
I think it's my favorite. It's my favorite episode because
so far.
Just,
yeah,
I just loved it. It was just that scene that,
when
as you
leaves,
said, a lot of people want.
To toilet,
I like that. Yeah. No, as soon as she said, I need to go to the toilet, I was just like, girl, we know what's
he
about to happen.
He got the ring in his pocket. I was like, oh my God.
Okay.
Condessa, whatever it is. Is it Condessa? Condolence. No.
No, but I generally just like, I'm telling you, at the end of this episode, a lot of people are texting, hey, big head. Like, how you doing? I just wanted to know.
It really did enjoy
it's not going to work out that way.
I really did enjoy the big scene as well.
Of course you did.
Sorry. Of course I did. I think it showed a really good vulnerability, and they were free, and it was authentic. It was nice to see them.
We never saw. We've never seen them like that though. That's what I like.
Yeah.
The fact that we've really always good. Seen them not in a greater space. So it was nice to see. For me, it could have been closure.
Question: do you guys want them to get back together or just be done?
I don't mind.
I don't think they will.
I don't mind if they get together or not, because it's that type of episode where it was like, I'm walking away. If we get together, great. If we don't,
exactly,
we found out a lot about ourselves, and going forward in other relationships or together,
Molly would just be judgmental if she did get back.
It'll be an argument, it'll be an issue of why are you back with this guy when he's doing this, when he's doing that. The thing is, Issa needs to stand up and say, I want to be with him, or I don't want to be with him, or this happened with him, and that's what I want. Even if you're judgy about it,
you can't be judgmental to your friend. If your friend has said this, it's not your business to come and tell
you. It's not. You can give her advice, but it's not your position to judge. Then that person shouldn't be your friend. You shouldn't be judging to that extreme where, you know.
I think that Lawrence is going to probably go back to Condola.
No.
And listen. I think he's going to go back to Condola. They're going to have a conversation. He's probably going to see where things are. He's probably going to try and give it a go, but he's going to realize that actually the connection that he actually has with Issa is not the same, and that's what he really wants. So I think they're not going to get together for a while, but then eventually they will.
You've got to remember
that we've still got, we still haven't seen Daniel. And we haven't seen.
I don't think Daniel's gonna come back. I think that Daniel issue was started on such a bad note that it would have
Daniel was the reason for Lawrence and
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It started on a bad note, so it wouldn't have ever really worked, because she still was holding on to feelings for Lawrence. He was hate for, because he knew she still had feelings for
Lawrence
and was trying to get back, so it would have never worked. I like Daniel. I like
him. I didn't mind.
I always remember that scene when she went to his house and then they tried to do the do and then anyway. Anyway, moving forward. But
yeah, it was Insecure.
I cannot wait. Two more episodes left until season finale. Finale. And yeah, we've got lots more to talk about that. So what's next?
Can I quickly say, what would you rate the show out of 10?
10 out of
10.
10.
Great writing, great acting.
I love all the actors for who they are.
Great storylines.
It's very current, and I relate to it a lot.
And I love that they loosely touch, not even loosely, they touch on Black topics, which we will talk about later, but I just love that they touched on that, you know.
Okay.
So that is what is important.
So next is The Lovebirds. I just kind of randomly stumbled across it. I was like, okay, it's got Issa Rae in it, let's have a look. But it was actually quite humorous to me. Like, it was dumb humor.
Could you tell us a little bit about what it's about?
So it starts off as like two couple, like an Asian guy and a Black lady have met, and then like they spent the day together, and then they end up falling in love, and then 4 years later they're arguing, and like they're just not getting on, and they're seen, they're like, they're just at different points in the relationship, and then as they're going out, they decide to end the relationship. But during that time they run someone over, and then the man that ran them over is like,
"Yeah,
am I saying too much,
girl?"
Exactly. They invented him. Her story.
So it's basically, that they were, but as she said, it started off as a one night stand that became
much?
A date. Yeah, girl. so it started off as a one night stand that turned into a full relationship. And as Paulina said, they fast forwarded, they're not getting along, they are odds.
Are you saying there's any different for what I'm
and
saying?
And then
all right, hold on. Before we're giving too much of the story away, it's about a couple that are not getting along, and they're going out, and they inadvertently get involved in some criminal activity, and it's rather than trying to go to the police, they try and solve it themselves. End of it. It stars Issa Rae. It stars a guy, an Asian guy called Kalani Nanjiva.
Apologies if we say it wrong.
Yeah, and it also stars Anna Camp. She's the girl from Pitch Perfect and True Blood, if you ever watch any of those shows. I'll go first. I don't know what you thought about this, Paulina, after you said it was humorous. I did not find it one bit.
I chuckled.
Some things are chuckled. Like, oh, that's such
can
dumb
I just
humor.
Say, like, this show, this movie was just literally, for me, is a background noise I watch when I'm washing the dishes or
that was
cooking.
Basically what I was doing.
It was just literally.
I actually had nothing to watch. So I thought,
basically, you didn't take it seriously. I thought Issa Rae played Issa Rae.
She played herself. But she
played herself.
Yeah, that's the thing. She plays herself.
There was no transition. I mean,
she's very like monotone, isn't she?
Yeah, you know.
That's why I didn't feel the chemistry.
Right, you know the awkward jokes that she has in Insecure? It was some of her awkward jokes in Insecure I find a little bit awkward. Well, they're meant to be, but they were even more so in this movie. I just thought to myself, this is not funny. I'm not finding this funny. I'm not laughing. I'm not, like, I watched it because I thought to myself, I'm going to support my sister, but she could have done better. But yeah, like you said, there wasn't that real chemistry. They weren't lovebirds. They weren't anything else. It was just like, really?
It wasn't. That's something I'd watch again. It was just like, okay.
Yeah, I would have watched it again. My only other thing is they had bits where they could have extended on the humor. Like for me, I wanted to see more humor when they had the cult scene. You know, not a lot of the orgy they were having. I didn't want to see that.
Yeah.
But I'm saying they could have extended on the humor of it.
No, because
you know,
because
but it was so short lived. It was just like, oh.
It was so dumb. There was no need to extend it anymore because it was just done.
I think out of the whole movie, that bit should have been extended because there were certain bits that I was just like,
yeah, because you want to see what they were going to do, but then that would have taken the film in a different direction, and that's not what they were trying to do.
But I don't know. It's for me, it was probably a 5 out of 10.
You gave
it 5. I'd say 5 out of 10.
Yeah, I would say 5 out of 10 because my only thing is, it gave me that And I know some people might be like, oh, you can't compare that because they're two different lanes, but it kind of give me the Queen and Slim vibe. And you know, it did. If you think about it, it kind of was. It's the same whole, but obviously okay. Queen and Slim was a serious thing that's actually happening now.
I haven't seen that yet.
You know, I can't believe you have it, girl.
You know what it is? I'm gonna sound obviously
girl,
gonna sound ridiculous.
I don't think you should see it now.
I'm not into all black things. Especially when it's the same type of storyline.
No, it's not the same type of storyline, babe. That's okay. My only issue
just
that I'll say about it.
Just from my assumption, wait, let me explain. From my assumption, from what I heard it was about, I don't like to be, obviously, we're talking about what we're going to talk about next. I don't like to be always discussing race and things that are negative to do with race or things that people having to fight about race. It doesn't make me feel good. So I avoid watching those kind of things, which is what I assume Queen Slim was about. So I just haven't watched it yet.
Obviously, this is not on our agenda, but I'll touch up on it a little bit because it does give us the vibe of our next discussion. So if you haven't watched it, I'm not going to spoil it. Obviously, I'm going to talk about what we see on the trailer. So Queen and Slim are basically on a date. They just met up on something like Tinder. I can't really remember what app they use, but something like Tinder. They've met up. They've had a date. It was an awful date, really. They were both different stages. She was expecting more. He was just literally just being typical, and she didn't really like that. So the date wasn't going 100% great. It wasn't going 100% great. So they get into a car and they get stopped by the police because I can't remember the reason why, but it was not a good enough reason. So it was basically what you've been seeing on your social media. It was that kind of aspect of things, and things got out of hand. And obviously, someone gets shot. And it just follows their journey of how they were trying to get away from what had happened. They obviously became, in the movie, they became some form of, I wouldn't say idol, but they became some form of an icon for the black community. Not because of what they did, it's because of what they stood for and the journey of them just trying to get away from it and not get caught. Because of something that was actually their fault. So it was, I loved that movie. I cried like a lot of us do.
Yeah, I just can't.
But it was good for me to, I'm the type of person that likes to, I do surround myself by those type of things. I follow things to that extent. You know, when they see us, I was watching it before it came out. So it's just,
to watch that because I'm just going to.
It's deep. I think with everything going on, if you're not in the mental state to kind of watch it, don't watch it yet.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot going on in life. So I think if right now you can't, just watch it later. That's for all our listeners. If you are not in that state, do not.
As we're on the topic of discussing things to do with race, I think it's very important that we bring up what has happened a week ago to an innocent man in Minneapolis, where he was accused of using a counterfeit note.
Say his name, George Floyd.
Was accused of using a counterfeit note.
$20, may I add.
The owners of the store decided it was fit to call the police because of it, and then the police took it upon themselves to murder him for no reason by kneeling on his neck. For 9 minutes, and the other three were also compressing on his body. And throughout the whole time, you hear George saying and expressing, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe." And if anything, the police just put more pressure until he eventually lost consciousness, and he was taken away by an ambulance, still in handcuffs, and then was pronounced dead when he arrived at the hospital, which has now sparked a huge outrage from everybody who has human emotion, who can see themselves or people they know in their situation, and has started peaceful protests turned into rioting caused by the police, for sure, in America, because that's how corrupt the police is. And it's just caused so much outrage. Like, for me, myself, I had to remove myself from social media because I have two sons and I can't help but fear for the future. I know we're not in America, but there's so many different forms of it in the UK. The fear of my heart for my children causes me huge anxiety to the point where I went to bed angry. I woke up the next day and I was in tears. I was crying because it's affected me. I don't know this man. I have no affiliation with him, but the thought of it potentially being someone I love makes me sick. So I've had to remove myself off social media to not have to see it so much. But it's so much in the air. Even today, my sister's partner, who's white, and myself and my sister stood on the top of our road with a banner to justice for Floyd, George Floyd, and Black Lives Matter, because they do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's you know, it's an important discussion. And I say, before I start, I'll just say rest in peace, George Floyd, and all the other Black, you know, that have lost their lives to police brutality and racism, not just police brutality, because we have Ahmaud,
you know, Ahmaud Arbery.
That's it. So it's a deep subject that, you know, we have to talk about. We have to talk about race. We have to talk about racism. And I think people think that a lot of, especially non-Black people, think that racism is just, and a racist person is someone that just hates. And they don't understand that racism is in the system. It's not just about a person that hates a black person or hates a person of color. It's in our system. And to stop it, you know, we need to have unity. And I see people hashtagging All Lives Matter. We get it. We know All Lives Matter. But right now, we are saying that us as a Black community, in certain people's eyes, we do not matter as much as our white friend over here or our Asian friend over here. That is what we are protesting for that equality that they've been fighting for since, you know, since slavery has been ended in America, or, you know, around the world generally. And yes, we are not in America. We are not Americans. You know, we have no affiliation with George Floyd or any people that have lost their lives. But it's not just about that. It's more about what it represents, humanity, yeah. What is represented, what they are telling us in America and telling the rest of the world and people that follow America as their leaders, because everything starts and stops in America.
We have similar things, you know, here.
We do. And it's happened over the...
We just don't have guns.
Yeah. And sometimes it doesn't get to that extreme, and it's not at the rate that is happening in America. And it's in the system. It's what people... They say no one's born racist, right? But people are born into a system that creates that racism around them. They may subconsciously, they don't realize it.
Because we have people, hierarchy.
Yeah, we have people that automatically turn into their white privilege and don't acknowledge that they have that white privilege till they're using it. And even when they use it, they don't see it. So they see the video, and then video, and then they start apologizing, saying, "I do acknowledge my white privilege." It's like, where was that when you were calling the police? That could have.
Amy Cooper is actually that lady that was running in Central Park with her dog, and a Black man told her to put a leash on the dog because the rule is that your dogs are not allowed to run without the leash.
She used her
white privilege to say, "I'm gonna tell the cops that a black
American man."
She damn nearly killed her dog. Nearly killed her dog.
Yeah, she's giving the way. She gave it.
Do you know what? For me though, I find her the worst kind, because she used her privilege, knowing that if the police came, she knew what she was doing, she knew her privilege to try and kill this man. She wasn't expecting the video to get anywhere because they would have been shot and all that other stuff. Just like that. And then she's screaming, he's attacking me. Are you crazy?
What I hate is that was the first thing that came out of her mouth. African American man, not a man. Just there's an African American man. She said it with her chest. And she knew what that meant.
He's wearing a bicycle helmet. So she's already making him look and sound like a threat before
I'm
she
sorry.
Does. She calls
I,
them.
I don't care if she's lost her job. Meanwhile, I don't care any of that, because I am sorry. She is the worst kind. You've got the history of Emmett Till over here. You've got the history of Tulsa over there. So tell me, she is the worst kind. And it's the fact that people don't realize. Some people will say, "Oh, well, I have black friends." Excuse me, so? But then if you were put in that position, wouldn't you do the same? Would you do the same thing? That's the question you need to ask yourself.
No, it makes me mad. I always think about it. People are always complimenting how beautiful my sons are and how cute they are, blah, blah, blah. But you grow up to fear them. I don't understand it. Well, when does it change?
Yeah.
And the thing is, men start being scared of black men, boys.
The stereotype starts from when they're little sometimes.
It makes me mad.
As I said, it's the system needs to be broken. And
the system is broken.
I love seeing, no, but what I'm saying, it needs to be unbroken. That's what I meant.
Needs
sorry.
To be fixed.
Like it needs to be fixed. Like what I love and I'm seeing on social media, like as Paulina has said, I've had to draw back from Instagram, and not just Instagram, social media in general. So I do go on a daily fixed time for myself, and when I realize I'm indulging myself too much with everything going on, I pull back and I do something else, and I put my phone at the side. Because as Paulina said, she's a mom, and I'm a mom of a young boy as well, and it is, you know, it is scary that it is going on, and that there could be a possibility that my son would be 18 one time walking down the street and someone have that fear for him enough to accuse him of something he hasn't done, or automatically just have that stereotype in their head when he's going to work, when he's going to school. You know, it is a scary thing to see. And, you know, George lying on the floor could have been anyone we knew. And it's like, I know people are sitting around saying, well, some people have had America. That whole ignorance is only in America. You could be at the wrong time, at the wrong place at the wrong time. You could be on holiday in America. Do you think the police are going to
God forbid.
Listen
I said
to your accent?
I'd have to be speaking
saying,
this.
No, but I know, what I'm
I'd
saying
be
is,
speaking in very clear, posh you, look, English accent.
Are they going to stop and say, oh, you're British, so I'm going to leave you alone? Do you think they even had time to even ask George half of the questions that
they
some of us think
they
are?
They didn't you ask know, they anything, actually beat him up before us. In the police van before they put him
on
the floor.
Yeah, I saw that video as well. I mean, you know... The thing is, there's just the list is long. It doesn't start and stop.
I just want to put my children back in my womb and just keep them safe there.
It doesn't start with George. There's a lot. There's a long list. And I feel like the movement now is very important. It's very, very important.
I think we need to educate our allies. I think we need to also educate ourselves. There are a lot of Black people that don't know a lot about race relations. They do not know
history.
And so we don't want to be, or we shouldn't be, this ignorant race where there are people, one second, that are doing things because they don't know nothing. They're just feeling angry. That is what the counterparts do.
This is what
they
is just happening. They're
doing
using
things
that.
Because they're feeling
they're
angry.
But there are a lot of people who don't want to know about it as well.
That's, you know what? How you deal with things is fine, but it's when you try to get involved with it without knowing.
Mm-hmm.
We all need to educate ourselves. There's one thing to bury your head in the sand. If that's how you want to deal with it, that's how you
then
deal with
ahead.
It. But there's one thing to get involved, but get involved blindly, speaking on things that you don't know of, saying things that are not true, saying things that are not factual, saying things that are downright irrelevant. And
posting
that's,
as well, posting that, and reposting is just...
That stems not just from our white counterparts, but it is also in our Black communities. You've had some people, some very well-known people, retracting statements, retracting posts because they've said...
Yep.
stupid things because they don't know how to educate themselves. You
know, thing is,
Black people are 40 times, especially in the UK, Blacks are 40 times more likely to get stopped by the police. We have to educate ourselves. We have to understand why. We have to know our rights as well when these things do happen.
I'll say to my sister, like, I have to fear for them. Like, if my sons are going to be in a certain area and then I buy them, or for example, they do really well with their lives and they buy a nice car, they're going to have to be in fear of something being stopped by the police because they deem them, why they're going to question, why have you managed to get a car like that? Why are you doing this? Or how come you're in this type of area? I feel like it's just too much stress for
it's a lot
us
of stress.
To have to teach our children just to behave a type of way so that they can be seen in society as decent human beings.
It's
too
it's
much.
It's a lot of stress, and this is why the movement is important to a lot of us that are moms, some that are not even moms. Just it's important to us generally. That's why it's very important, and that's why we have to use our voices in whatever way. So as T has said, educate ourselves. Education is very important. Know your history. Yes, some of this history has been covered up by you know, the higher powers. Look at Tulsa. How can Tulsa have happened in 1921 and is nowhere in history, is not taught to anyone, right? And it was erased, and it's given a different name, you know, they put out riot, you know.
Yeah, can you
give the
people
the background?
So those that may not know about, you know, Tulsa, which was AKA Black Wall Street, I only just found out about it recently, and a lot of people have just found out about it recently. So Tulsa was basically a street that had prominent Black-owned businesses. I'm talking lawyers, doctors, business owners. It was a very prominent street. Back then, its worth was about 2 million, which is equivalent to 36 million now. So there was a, you know, harmony. Everyone was, you know, everyone was just looking out for themselves. So it's a community that we want now for us Black people. That was what Tulsa and Black Wall Street was. So from some of my research, it did start off with a dispute between two families, with a messenger of a prominent, with a son of a prominent member of the community was sent to send a message to someone in a building. He was in a very small elevator with a white lady, and the elevator jolted and his shoulder rubbed over her shoulder. And when she got off, she screamed rape. This was from the first floor to the third floor. So when she screamed all of that, obviously the sheriffs came to pick him up. He was taken, and obviously his dad is a prominent guy, so his dad knows what this is about. So he gets a few of his men and they all go and, you know, just peacefully just say, look, what are the charges? What has my son done? You know, he needs to be released. He needs to be read his rights. You know, we need to do this properly. And obviously they're a bit upset because they've seen this, you know, Black, rich, prominent, well-educated man speak to them in that manner. It doesn't rub off well with any white supremacist. So obviously things escalated. They let him go, but then it escalates to where the whole firing squad is down. Planes are down. So basically they just destroyed the whole of Tulsa, of that street, and bombs were dropped. In my eyes, this thing was set up, because how are you telling me that a small sheriff's office in 1921 have planes dropping bombs off on the street? Those, for me, it just seems like those were on standby ready to happen. So anyway, yes, they don't know how many Black people were killed, but let's just say a lot. And it just never, ever... It's a deep thing. If you, I'm not sure about Google now, but I know it was named under like rioting or something like that. So the story wasn't, so it's reported as it was a rioting gone wrong, which it actually wasn't a riot. So they wiped off a whole community that could have been like, imagine if Tulsa was left to stand, imagine what the Black community could have been like in, and has the potential to be like, in not just that area, it's just what that community would have represented. Remember, this was 1921. So if you see a community like that, what would they have taught their children? Their children taught other children. Do you get what I mean? It would have been the basis of a role model for us Black community, which we are missing. And as T said, as a Black community, within our community, we don't have that unity sometimes. We don't, you know. So us having that education,
we've
that unity.
We just hate ourselves.
Yeah, but now we need to unteach that. We need to stand together. And that's sure. what the whole movement is about. Like, stand, support Black business. There's so many Black businesses out there. Like, why is it okay to go and buy something from, let's say, I don't want to name companies, but why buy something from a company that's already getting their funds, and there's a black
not even
company there selling, like, shea butter, selling, you know, certain things that you can buy. Why are you going to go to Boots to buy a non-refined version of shea butter when you could just go to, you
even
know,
like even hair shops around the Asian people that are to selling Black people have Black hair.
Like the thing is, I live in an area where there's only an Asian shop. Recently, just before all of this, a Black-owned hair shop opened, and I went into that shop and took their leaflets, posted it up on my Instagram, and said, anyone living in my area, you know, shop from them. Like, I didn't say don't shop in the other shop. I said shop from them. You know, they are a Black-owned hair shop, and I made it my point to buy a product. I didn't need anything, but I made sure I bought about 3 or 4 items that I know I'll use eventually, because I thought, you know what, I try and make it a point to buy at least one item every other month, or whenever I see, you know, on Instagram or anywhere someone promotes something, I try and buy an item. Even if I don't have it, then I promote their business somehow. And I think that is important, just promoting. Sometimes we just like to talk the talk and not walk it. Like, you know, promote, do something, even if it's once a month, do something in your financial budget or in your, you know, even just promoting, one like, one repost. You don't have to physically use your finances to support Black business, Black communities, not even just the businesses, it's just youth clubs, you know, like the young are not understanding. Like, I'm talking about Tulsa now in 1921. In the next 10 years, would our generation even know about it? Because it's still not being spoke about that as much as it should be, you know. So that's just for me. I just think
there's so much to answer for. It's mad.
There's a lot. This, you know, we could go on and on and on about this subject. Like,
yeah, we could.
You know,
but guys,
do you have anything else to say?
Google is your friend, guys. Like, seriously, there are books out there that you can read. There are websites. There's lots of things. If you want to know about race relations, you just need to type it in Google.
And I really hope
we are so fortunate to be in a generation where we've got the internet. Back in the day, like you said, the history is lost because people are not writing about it, people are not talking about it, but we've been able to record these things from the wide web, from the worldwide web. We've got books now. Yeah, so just educate yourselves. And guys, if you also go onto Google or Instagram, you'll see that there are plenty of GoFundMe pages, websites that can help causes for Black Lives Matter. You can GoFundMe for, you know, people's funerals, like Belly. I've forgotten, I can't pronounce her surname. The lady that was spat on, Belly.
Oh, and she died passed away.
Lady the TFL lady that was spat
There's
on.
A lot of support to
George Floyd. Petitions.
Breonna Taylor.
Yeah.
Breonna Taylor, there are petitions out there. Anything, if you feel like you need to help and you genuinely want to help, please do so. If you are going to go into protest, please guys, do this peacefully. We don't need
and safely
and remember, do safely, yeah,
just remember COVID is out there as well, guys, so just
don't
be safe,
need
please
the government or the media to now come and say it's because of Black Lives Matter that the R rate has gone up and people rioting.
Hey, can you imagine?
Okay,
so just to kind of round it up and just finish off, we would like to thank all of you for joining us. You know, this is
our first
episode.
Guys,
thanks for joining. And, you know, obviously this pod is about, as T said in the beginning, it is about series, documentaries, social reality, what is happening around us, social awareness, the news.
Current affairs.
So we will cover as much as we can. This was our first episode and we felt it right that we spent a bit of time talking about what is happening now. In future episodes, we will be talking about everything as we've listed, and you will hear a bit more about our shows and stuff. As you know, this movement is going to carry on, so we will touch on it when we can. So we also, you will find information on our Instagram pages. As T has said, there is information on Google and Instagram. We will try and repost and post as much as we can. But it's all on Instagram. Just go on the hashtag and you will find it there. So yeah,
thanks for
hope you enjoy
guys.
This be safe, and we wish you all a blessed week. Enjoy,
take care,
bye bye,
we're out of here.